With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. You're listening to George Christensen on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, welcome back to the George Christensen Show here on the fantastic TNT Radio after a couple of weeks' absence. I'm sorry I've been away, but look, nothing much has changed. The globalists are still globalizing. The Australian government is still trying to censor us all. In fact, that is probably the big news of the past fortnight. I mean, unbelievably so, that on the day of George Orwell's 120th birthday, the Australian government announces that it's going to bring in a misinformation and disinformation bill, a combating misinformation and disinformation bill. They're going to ascribe powers to a new government, or to an existing government agency, to actually determine what is going to constitute the truth, what is going to constitute lies. And then from there, they're going to determine whether the things that they deem are lies, and we know how that's gone over the past few years, the things that they deem as not being true, how that could potentially be harmful to a range of things. Harmful, of course, to the LGBTIQ community, because, goodness me, we couldn't offend those people by saying things such as a man cannot be a woman, or, for instance, saying that drag queen story time is not for kids. I mean, they're the kind of things that are likely to going to be fall afoul of the in this proposed law. But they also talk about harm to society, harm to the health of Australians. I wonder what that means. Might mean something like all the stuff that we've been saying over the past few years that they originally said was conspiracy theory and fake news that turned out to actually be fact. Things like, you know, the vaccination or so-called vaccine does not actually stop transmission. Turned out to be true, that statement. But these are things that the government's going to clamp down on even harder under this law. On top of that, they talk about harm to the Australian environment. Isn't that interesting that apparently now posts on the internet, like I'm going to go on Twitter, I'm going to put some pithy comment up there that's having a zap at Bill Gates or something like that, and suddenly 200 koalas are going to drop dead. This is what the government thinks. Well, actually, they don't really think that. What it's all about, harm to the Australian environment, means you will not be able to question the narrative around climate change. You will not be able to say this stuff because the Australian government is proposing this combating misinformation and disinformation law that is going to stifle your right to free speech on the internet. And I'm going to say this is diabolical. This is censorship writ large. This is the biggest threat to free speech in Australia since the then Gillard Labor government proposed this idea that we were going to have this national press regulator. And speaking of the press, you know, surprise, surprise, they've exempted the mainstream media from this law. They've exempted government from the law too. And, you know, so they should, because as we know, as I said before, for the last few years, all we heard was misinformation and disinformation from the Australian government, amplified by the mainstream media regarding COVID-19. Stuff that they were saying was 100% true, you know, safe and effective, turned out to be just a load of codswallop. So here we have this law. It is a threat to freedom of speech in this nation. And I've got to say, it is a threat, dear listener, to TNT Radio as well. Because we're on the internet, right? We are on the internet. And it's not just posts on Twitter. It's not just posts on Facebook that they're going to be attacking here. They're attacking podcast providers, and this show is available on a myriad of different podcast providers. You might be listening to it now courtesy of a podcast provider, but even just data service agencies. So could it be that they try and shut down their website, you know, under this law? Anything's possible. This is bizarre. And I talked about George Orwell's 120th birthday. He predicted this in the book 1984, The Ministry of Truth. And on the very day of his 120th birthday, the Australian government proposes a ministry of truth that is going to silence you, going to silence your thoughts on everything from the transgender fad that's actually being targeted towards our kids, through to climate change, through to, you know, a future pandemic, things that you will not be allowed to say that's against the narrative. This is all about just shutting down any anti-narrative speech online. And as I said, not targeted towards the mainstream media, because they can be controlled by government, right? They pretty much are. They're in the hands of government and the globalist elite already. But here in the democratized internet, where everyone who has some social media account, whether it be Facebook or more so Twitter, or whether it's Truth Social, which is available in Australia now, or Gab or Parler or Rumble or YouTube or whatever platform that they have, they might even just have their own website, right? They can say whatever they want to say, uncontrolled and unfiltered, unlike what the mainstream media is. The Australian government's going to stop that. They're going to stop it. And what they're doing in trying to pass this law is they're wriggling around. I mean, we don't have the American constitutional protections on free speech. We don't have the First Amendment rights. But we have something in our Constitution that the High Court likes to call the implied constitutional right to political communication, meaning that you can call politicians whatever you think of them. You can say stuff that is involved in the political discourse in this country, but that's all now going to be undermined, and the government are getting around that constitutional of sorts, that constitutional protection of sorts, by getting big tech to do it and do it even harder than they already are. They're going to have to show the Australian government policies and procedures they got in place that will take down whatever you say. They're going to have to show that those policies and procedures are being enforced. And I'm sure there's going to be some sort of complaints mechanism that this government agency, this jumped up Ministry of the Truth, is going to lay out to try and get you censored. So welcome to the new Australia, 1984 in 2023. Who would have seen it coming? One man who I know probably did see this coming, because he's seen many things coming, joins me from the wee hours of the morning over in New York of the United States of America, where they have that fantastic free speech protection in their constitution, the First Amendment, is Father Lazarus Timothy Gales. He has joined us on many occasions. He's a fount of knowledge, and he's often looking spiritually at what is going on in the world and sort of deciphering all of those things for us, the signs of the times decoded. How are you going, Father Lazarus?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me, George.
That's quite all right. So you hear our trials and tribulations down under. Boy, oh boy, we could do with a bit of those First Amendment protections that you got over there, because I'm just terrified that this is going to just absolutely and utterly snow us under. There'll be little that we can actually say against the narrative, against the zeitgeist. You know, won't be able to say anything about the transgender fad, as I said, climate change, any of the globalist plots. It'll all be sort of decried as fake news and misinformation or disinformation. They'll say, it's Russia, you know, Russia right. Promoting this stuff, and then it'll all just be taken off the internet. So I'm a little bit despondent at the moment. I turn to you as a man of God to give me some hope. Is there any hope against this sort of attack? Because I know it's not just being driven by the Australian government. There's governments all around the world pursuing this, and they're doing it because the UN's talking about it, clamping down on hate speech online and misinformation. The World Economic Forum is talking about it. So this is, again, it's just a globalist agenda that's being rammed through the Australian Parliament, and the government are happy to do it. But you think there's some hope on this front?
There is always hope, you know, where you have truth, and where truth is upheld and where truth is spoken, there is hope. But, you know, reality is usually scoffed at, and illusion or delusion is usually king. People want to be deluded. They don't want to think for themselves. Thank God we have shows like yours and others who are speaking truth into the darkness that's out there. You know, we're seeing censorship even in America. There, we have our First Amendment right, but they're going after all the amendments and they're trying to bypass the Constitution. And that's really what they want to do. You know, we're looking today at the economic issue, right? We had that summit for a new global financial pact in Paris. Yeah. And that is unprecedented as you see this convergence of narratives, right? They're combining climate change with the International Finance and Monetary Authority. So they want CBDCs, which we have talked about before. But in doing this, they need a crisis. They need a crisis mm-hmm. to really implement it all. So what is French That's right. President Emmanuel Macron say? He says the world needs a public finance shock. So people ask me, you know, do you think there's going to be another pandemic? Are they going to do another pandemic? You know, honestly, my opinion, George, is that people are weary and tired of the whole pandemic narrative. They're definitely weary of shots and needles, yeah. right? I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to do a financial shock. I really do. And I think they're going to say, we have got to initiate a new system. I mean, even yep. the president of the UN said that the Bretton Woods financial system from after World War II is no longer sustainable. It can't work with our type of inclusive society, right?
Yep.
This is all garbage. But at the same time, it's them. We're seeing the architecture of tyranny being built up around the world. Absolutely. And people just don't see it. 90% of people I talk to have not even really heard of CBDCs, and they don't even know what's happening behind the scenes.
I concur with you. I mean, most people, when you tell them about this, they look at you blankly.
Yes.
But it's happening. I mean, there are so many countries around the world. You can actually go online. There's a CBDC tracker website, and you can see how many countries around the world are looking at this. And it's just interesting that all of these governments around the world just all decide at the same time that we've got to pursue government-backed digital currency. I mean, but there's no conspiracy. There's no international agenda going on here. It's just all coincidental. But what you're talking about shows that it isn't coincidental. It isn't conspiracy theory. It's real. And just for those who don't know what Father Lazarus is talking about, right now in Paris, there is a summit for a new global financing pact happening. It's being done under the auspices, of course, of the United Nations. We've got the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, in there as well. We've got the World Bank there as well, and also Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe's Treasury Secretary. So they're all in there plotting how the new international financial system is going to look, what it's going to look like, and CBDCs will be a big, big part of that. I'm terrified yep. of CBDCs because it was actually the new Prime Minister, or relatively new Prime Minister of the UK, that belled the cat on this, because he said, when he was talking about a position paper, a sort of a government brief that they were sending out to the public to get their feedback, that, oh, we could have this fantastic new system of digital currency, central bank digital currency. It would be strong and robust because the government's behind it, the central bank's behind it, but it would give, you know, a hell heap of flexibility. And then he talked about it being programmable. And that raised a few eyebrows. What do you mean, Rishi Sunak, by programmable? Well, what he meant by programmable, you know, Father Lazarus, that what he meant mm-hmm. was that the government could actually get in there and tinker around with how that digital currency is used, what you can spend it on, mm-hmm. where you can spend it, how much you can spend at any given point. And here it is. They're linking this to climate change right now at this summit. Without a doubt, there is going mm-hmm. to come with CBDC's climate controls on your spending. I mean, for goodness sake, we already have credit card providers that are out there offering voluntary credit cards that actually have a daily climate spending limit on it. You don't That's think right. that governments are going to introduce this for the bulk of the population? I think Blind Freddy can see this coming. And I just don't know how more people are not awake to this. Why do you think they're not awake to it, Father Lazarus?
Because they're not talking about it in the open like they should be. You know, the ministry of truth is really the ministry of the protection of deceptions and lies.
Yes.
They're using it to control the narratives always. And that's the way it is. Most people today just watch the TV. They turn the TV on for the news. That's really what it is. They don't really search and dig anything. They just live there. And so with this global climate crisis, which really doesn't exist, I hate to say that, but I can back that up. But with this narrative that they're pushing, you need a global answer. And the global answer is going to be CBDCs, because they're combining the two with the climate crisis and the money now, the economy. And with that, you're going to have the limitation of everything. Not only you buy, as you're saying, they'll be able to cut you off. They'll just because they deem you've had too much meat, or you've had too much, you know, you bought too much clothes. I just saw the World Economic Forum published that in the future, they're going to own everything, of course, is their plan. But in the future, you're going to be allowed. Everybody's going to wear, outfits that they give you. You're only going to be allowed 3 new pair of outfits a year.
What are we talking? What's the document we're talking about here?
It's
the government going to start controlling what we're wearing.
Yes. The wearing and how many calories. We talked about that. How many calories you eat. Food, 2,500 is it. Mm. Nothing more than that. And of course, what types of food you eat. You know, what we're seeing, George, I have to tell you, is nothing new. You know, in the book of Genesis in scripture, we hear in Genesis chapter 4, we see that, you know, Cain and Abel, and we see Cain slew Abel, but we also see Cain began to build the city. That city eventually was destroyed through the flood. But, you know, we go to Cain's children, and the son of Cush was Nimrod, and Nimrod built Babylon. And Nimrod said, let us make a name for ourselves. And it was all about him and establishing an empire apart from God on the earth. And so that city was being built by Nimrod. And I have to tell you, it was really Babylon became really the first totalitarian project. In the 19th and 20th centuries, we have found numerous archaeological excavations, right, of Nimrod and of the Babylon and the clay tablets and so forth. It's interesting because, you know, they formed a state in Sumeria, right? It was ruled by the grandsons of Ham, and one of them was Nimrod. He was the head of it. A state was formed in which citizens had practically no personal property. Everything was itemized. Everything was, and we have these on the clay tablets. Everything was itemized to a T. You know what's really crazy about that is that, you know, you had work brigades. You had men work brigades. They called them the Gorish. And you had female work brigades. You called them the Temi, the bondmaid. Mm-hmm. These were labor brigades. Sound familiar? And then they kept very strict accounting of rations that were distributed to the people. They also, the sick and the dead, they really scrupulously recorded this. And it's rather chilling, to be honest with you, because the log that we have on the clay tablets that survived shows a mortality rate among women and children that was carefully drawn up by overseers of the camp, the labor camps. Now, I want you to put this together. This is in the book of Genesis I'm talking about, 2500 BC earlier. To this day, okay, we look at these things and it reminds us, it's very striking that it reminds us not only of the indifference they had toward human life, but it's very reminiscent of what is found in the archives of Germany and Soviet camps.
Yeah.
So we're seeing this again, right? And not only that, you wonder, how could these people survive on such meager rations? On the recording of these clay tablets, they had clay food certificates, and it listed stuff like barley, sesame oil, beer, fish, rarely any dates, and guess what? Never meat. You were not allowed. It's the old saying,
the more things change, the more they stay the same, even from biblical times. We're going to stay the same after this quick break here on TNT Radio. Back with Father Timothy Gales.
Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
If I were an African leader of any of these poor countries, I would absolutely choose China's alliance over Western alliance with Europe and the United States. You might say, why would you do that? These are communists. These are people with civil rights and slaves and they're... Bottom line is the United States comes in and we've sent Kamala Harris to Africa. We've sent our Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen to Africa. And they literally like tell them and praise them for living a primitive existence, for living without enough running water, electricity. They're doing it right. The West is offering deprivation, managed control of their economy, energy limits, only renewables. They're not allowed to make the same mistakes. And meanwhile, China's offering jobs, infrastructure, hospitals, roads, running water, electricity, and yeah, you'll be in debt to China, and yeah, they're going to end up owning you and ultimately enslaving you. But in terms of a easy buy right now, it's a much more compelling offer from China than anyone in the West.
The Mark Morano Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
It's sad in a life-changing moment when someone special in your life reaches their end. Many of us have had loved ones who have died. Unfortunately, dying is a part of life. It teaches us to live every day to its fullest. Family, friends, workmates, and those we come in contact with all impact us in special ways. Fortunately, there is a place that helps us when this time comes. The Hospice Foundation of America is there when you need them most. Hospice is medical care for people with a short anticipated life expectancy, when a cure isn't an option, and the focus shifts to symptom management and quality of life. It's so confusing to have an expert with you during these times who are trained to address physical, psychosocial, and spiritual needs of the person, family members, and other intimate unpaid caregivers. Visit hospicefoundation.org to find out how you can donate, and be assured that 95 cents of every dollar you give goes directly to our programs that support hospice and bereavement care in the United States. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
The conversation continues.
We chose not to vaccinate our children because we feel like the shot posed more threat than the disease.
On today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
You're back on the George Christensen Show, and we're talking with Father Lazarus Timothy Gales here. We've just been talking about CBDCs, or the coming advent of CBDCs, and all the controls that go along with it. And Father Lazarus has just pulled out of the Book of Genesis and documents around the ancient city of Babylon and what happened there, and how there was all this food rationing and controls on people back even in biblical times. And as I said before, it makes you wonder, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Mm-hmm. But even getting back into today's world, things don't change when you cross the Rubicon, so to speak, because I notice an article that you brought to my attention that Russia's doing the same thing. I mean, you know, we've got this sort of divide between the Western world and the Russian world at the moment, but yet the Russian parliament has just passed a digital ruble bill. That sort of surprised me that they're going down the same track, and I wonder what the hell that's all about.
Well, you know, Putin is he's one of Klaus Schwab's students, right? He was one of the world leaders. So listen, the world, like I said, reality is usually scoffed at, and illusion is usually king. People do not put the pieces together. Do you think Russia is the good guy fighting against the globalists? Wrong. How about, you know, the good cop, bad cop scenario? We're looking at, they're on the same team. They're implementing the same things, which should concern us. If Russia was so afraid of the shot, or if they were good guys and knew that the shot was not really a vaccine, why did they implement their own? And what is in their own? You know, we're looking at a game, and we're looking at a worldwide deception. If you think the world is coming together as one, okay, globally and financially, Well, then if Russia's our enemy or Russia wants to, you know, defeat the West, why are they joining into this, the global CBDC? That's a control system that's global. Okay. So people, because they're part of it and they're going to be part of it. And this is a small oligarch at the top, and they're going to be controlling the levers in the world. That's what they want. So nothing new. I mean, even like I told you, even the principle of Nimrod's government in the Bible, going back to Babylon, was that you're only going to have absolute freedom by renouncing God. Well, that's the paradise on earth that communism wants to build, and every, you know, all sorts of dictators through history wanted to build their paradise on earth. That's what it is. It is totalitarianism. And this global CBDC is your ration ticket for food, right? Ration ticket for anything, because they're going to program it. What you can buy, what you can't buy, how much meat you can buy, how much meat you can't buy, how many Brussels sprouts you can have, how many you can't have. I mean, it down to the very least thing in your life, everything will be documented. The same thing happened in the ancient Babylon. And it was through scribes. They had scribes put in clay tablets and recording everything. Well, now we have AI. Now we have our computer systems and AI, which is doing it for him, but it's the same thing. There's nothing new under the sun, as Solomon said. Nothing. And just like you were stating before, we are watching this one nation, one ideology, one society, basically globalization coming into effect. And that's what happened then. And it was a very successful globalization back then, and God had to disperse it. And that will happen again now. We're told that scripturally. People need to understand, when you're looking at the world, don't look at it with one eye covered. You're looking at it from the material, accidental aspect of history. Conspiratorial is not something, you know, that's fringe. There's always been conspiracies. You had the Catalinian conspiracy in Rome. You had, you know, there's conspiracies in your own office building, you know, people trying to climb the office ladder and throw you under the bus. Yeah. Look, there are always conspiracies, right? There's the accidental view of history, and there's a conspiratorial view of history. I happen to believe the conspiratorial. Let me give you a quick example of that. We see all this stuff coming together in the global world right now. This was all put together by the Club of Rome. The Club of Rome back in the 60s. Aurelio Pecci, the doctor who started it in 1968, I believe, he's the one who came out and said literally that what we need is a pandemic. We need some sort of virus in order to, and this was to depopulate. Because there were too many people in the world, and that's what the Club of Rome was dealing with. So in order to depopulate, we need some virus, he said, and then the antidote to it will be what depopulates, and people will line up for that. People will line up for it because of fear. You know, if you go back to the Clinton administration, you had the Deputy Secretary of State, Strobe Talbot. He said this: in the next century, nations as we know it will be obsolete. All states will recognize a single global authority. National sovereignty wasn't such a great deal after all. That was his quote. If you look at Richard Gardner, who was a globalist with the Council of Foreign Relations, in an article in Foreign Affairs magazine, 1974, he wrote, in short, the house of world order will have to be built from the bottom up rather than the top down. It will look like a great booming, buzzing confusion, to use William James's famous description of reality, but an end run around national sovereignty, eroding it piece by piece, will accomplish much more than the old-fashioned frontal assault. Now, this is going all the way back, right? So what they're looking at, they're getting their ground rules here and their objectives from Plato's Republic, right? The philosopher kings. That's what they want to be. The philosopher kings. It's really just a bunch of narcissistic egos, really. But
technocrats.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So they're putting all this together again, I'm purposely bringing this parallel to Genesis and Babylon, because we're watching, you know, even in the book of Revelation, the end book in scripture talks about the whore of Babylon, right? So this term Babylon has been used throughout history, both in the beginning of history and at the end of history. So the ideology of it has been around throughout history, and we've seen its chain and progression throughout history. It's going to end up dominating the world like Nimrod did and wanted to do in the very beginning. And it's going to end up doing it, and it's doing it. It's a form of slavery, right? But the what they have to do, and the Club of Rome, 1970-71, they said, we have to make it so that people embrace their own slavery. They need to embrace their own slavery. They need to look at it as a matter of solemn duty and survival. Well, here you have climate change. We're going to have climate lockdowns, the 15-minute cities, all of these things. Yep. Why? For our good. And you know what? You don't want to eat too much meat. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to drive. Yeah, you don't want to travel anywhere, drive anywhere. You know, this is for the environment. This is your duty. It's the same. They were talking about this 60, 70 years ago. So this is nothing new. What we're seeing now with the climate summit, with the monetary summit, with all these things, what we're seeing now is we're seeing them implementing that which they planned to do decades ago. And most people don't realize that. This isn't an off the cuff. Ooh, there's an economic problem. We better think of a way out of this. No. This has been perpetuated. It is designed for an end. And that end is nothing good for you or for me. And people need to see that.
While the jaw has been going on for a long time, as you say, like since the 70s, it seems that the war is happening right now. I mean, they are moving at an incredible rate of knots to get to the conclusion that they want to get to, which is, you know, the New World Order, which is globalist government run by technocrats, democracy undermined, or a veneer of democracy just thinly papering over this technocracy that they really desperately want, where there's CBDCs that control what you spend, where there's government regulators that control what you say or can't say online, where there's 15-minute cities that control where you go, where you live, where you work. All of this stuff is just barreling down the line right now at a rapid rate of knots. I know that you have previously expressed some views on that. Why is this happening all so quickly at this point in time, just post the pandemic?
Because people are already getting conditioned to obeying. The pandemic was really a trial run, and it was a trial run to see the level of obedience.
And we failed.
and we failed because people were lining up for their, they knew this. And that's what Aurelio Pecci said. And people are going to line up to be euthanized, and they don't even know they're being euthanized by the shots. They think they're being healed or protected. He said, we're just going to get them lined up. You know, we're going to process evolution here. We're going to do it. We're going to divide the sheep from the goats. That's what they're doing. Look, this stuff was a long time ago. 20 years after the origin of the Club of Rome, they published a book called The First Global Revolution. Let me give you a quote from this book, okay? Because it discusses using global warming, climate change, as a vehicle to form supranational governance. They said this, they go, in searching for a common enemy against whom we can unite, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. In their totality and their interactions, these phenomena do constitute a common threat, which must be confronted by everyone together. But in designating these dangers as the enemy, we fall into the trap, which we have already warned readers about, namely mistaking symptoms for causes. All these dangers are caused by human intervention in natural processes, and it is only through changing attitudes and behavior that they can be overcome. So the real enemy, then, is humanity itself. They hate us. They hate us. and they want to change our attitudes and behaviors, and they're doing it now. How many people wore masks? How many people locked themselves in their own homes for months and months and months and sat glued to the ministry of truth? How many people, you know, obeyed everything they said? I mean, yeah. When you look at that obedience, and this wasn't just a nation where a pandemic, the world was in lockstep for the first time ever. Nations across the board did this. It was that was unprecedented. It just shows the level of propaganda, the level of brainwashing, but it also shows, in very scary terms, the amount of people that obeyed blindly what they were told to do. Blindly.
Yeah.
And not only that, those people also began to hate, criticize, and go after the resistors. Yes. The people who said, wait a minute, there's truth here. Yeah, no, they didn't want to hear the truth. Shut up and do what you're supposed to do. Is what
they're
told.
Very angry at people. They dobbed in neighbors. They, you know, there was just absolute hatred. I mean, people screaming at other people that they hoped that they'd die a horrid death of COVID-19.
Yes.
In fact, I can recall when I was a member of parliament and I was sort of pointing out the fraught nature of what was going on, how freedoms and liberties were being undermined, getting emails from people who were saying, I hope your wife and daughter get COVID and fall seriously ill and die. You know, like, this is just off the chain, really, off the chain and insane. And it did show that we went through a major insanity. But I think the upshot was, you are right, it was a test of compliance, and we absolutely failed it with flying colors, as they wanted us to. And they'll remember that, and they'll use that. And we're going to be back after this quick break here on TNT Radio's The George Christensen Show.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
I've talked a lot about the racism that has now become acceptable in the United States, racism against white people. I've discussed campus living arrangements that prohibit white students, job forums that list those who are welcome with one race notably absent from the invite, teachers unions that will ignore seniority of white teachers when it comes to laying them off. It goes on and on. Now comes this. There's a bill being pushed by Democrats in California that would make judges take the race of criminals into account when handing down a sentence. That's right, take race into consideration when handing down a sentence. This racist and surely unconstitutional bill was passed by the state house and is now in the Senate. Now, under the bill, courts would be making up for how minorities have been treated in the past by going easy on current minority criminals who come before the judges. White people would, of course, get no such special treatment, of course. I wish I was making this up, but I'm not. The sanctioning of racism continues to spread, and it needs to stop before it's too late. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Who is Klaus Schwab, and what is the World Economic Forum which he leads? Klaus Schwab, the chairman of the World Economic Forum, believes transhumanization is a fundamental part of the Great Reset within the Fourth Industrial Revolution. He states, the difference of this Fourth Industrial Revolution is it doesn't change what you are doing. It changes you if you take genetic editing just as an example. It's you who are changed, and of course this has a big impact on your identity.
A hoax about carbon dioxide in the climate has caused a global energy and economic disaster. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
George Christensen back here on The George Christensen Show, joined by Father Lazarus Timothy Gales. We've been talking about a whole range of things to do with CBDCs, with government censorship, of course, that we're undergoing here in Australia, and talking about how the more things change, the more they stay the same, even going back to biblical times with the government controls that were on people. But I want to change tack just for the last 15 minutes or so that we've got, Father Lazarus. We've just had this massive Christian movie that's come out, smashed box office records. You know the movie I'm talking about. It's The Sound of Freedom. I mean, it's a movie about, it's a true story, in fact, a movie about this federal agent whose job was to go and capture or capture and arrest child sex offenders, whether they were looking on the internet at child pornography or whether they were engaging in that evil crime in itself. And that guy then decided that he was no longer going to just catch the bad guys. What he wanted to do was to actually free the enslaved children, free the victims of child sex trafficking. And he went and did that. And I believe this fellow is now running a very successful operation in the United States, Operation Underground Railroad. We've got an equivalent of it in Australia, actually. It's called Operation Destiny Rescue. And it's actually this unbelievable how the story mirrors what happened in the US, because it was another federal law enforcement officer in Australia that decided exactly the same thing. And I got to say, hats off to those guys that are doing that. But interestingly, back to the movie, The Sound of Freedom, the liberal or left-wing mainstream media or fake news media, the legacy media, started attacking it straight away. You had these outfits like The Guardian, Variety, like a whole heap of different outfits just started saying, oh, this movie is QAnon adjacent. I still don't really understand what that means, QAnon adjacent. This army is for all these red-pilled extremists, you know, all the rest of it, as if, you know, a movie about a police officer who captures real bad guys involved in child pornography and child sex trafficking and actually frees them, that somehow this is a bad message for the public. And
why would the barracking? Ministry of Truth? That's right. Why would the Ministry of Truth be turning against this movie? You know, it's a true it's a true story. But why would they be doing that? You know, when you go down the rabbit hole in this whole child sex trafficking, it involves the intelligence agencies. You end up uncovering the fact that, you know, the FBI, the CIA, elements within all of these groups are actually involved in it.
And there's very strong suggestions that Jeffrey Epstein was in fact an intelligence agent, or at least an intelligence asset. The question is, was it the CIA or was it Mossad or was it perhaps both? But you're right. There has always been suggestions. There was a Russian cryptocurrency guy. You know, he developed these cryptos, and he was real uber libertarian. He ended up in the Bahamas. I think he was in, I can't remember if it was Costa Rica or somewhere else, but anyway, wherever he was, he put a tweet up saying that two things. One tweet said, there's three futures for me. One of them is that I get suicided by the intelligence community. And another tweet talked about how the CIA and Mossad were running a child sex ring out of the Bahamas, out of that the Caribbean, I should say. Nick Mushigian, I think, was his name. And shortly after that tweet, he wound up dead in the waters, body found washed up on the shore. And of course, it was ruled no foul play, you know. But I think you're right. This stuff goes on. And there's probably much more where that comes from.
Well, they say that actually, they say it. Yeah, they say actually, the US government has been accused of being a middleman for the entire operation worldwide. And this goes to the intelligence community.
Shocking.
So it's horrifyingly shocking. But then all of a sudden, this movie comes out. It was made 5 years ago. Disney prevented it. Disney prevented it from being released for 5 years, fought it. Isn't that interesting? And now that it's finally
promoting Pride Nights at their Disneyland amusement parks. I mean,
it's unbelievable. And now it comes out, and the controlled media is turning against it, saying it's QAnon. They talk about adrenochrome. And listen to me, I saw the movie. Nothing of the sort is in it. It's clearly about a police officer and what he did. A true story. Nothing more. It's
horrifying. Should make a movie about all of that stuff, though, because it'll probably also be a true story. But anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, you're looking at that. But guess what really shocked me? The Department of Justice in the United States took off its website child sex trafficking articles. Took it off. Deleted it. Now, why would you do that?
At the same time, I did hear that. At the same time this movie came out, right?
Yes.
Like as if this movie posed some sort of threat to order, so we can't have anything on a government website that that backs it up or proves what they're saying is right.
Exactly.
Just all so bizarre. I mean, this is a crime that I thought would sicken people on the left as well as the right, but apparently on the left, or at least in the mainstream media and in government circles, this is not an issue that sickens them anymore. I don't know what other conclusion that I can come to.
Look at what they're doing with the trans movement and going after the children and the story times and the libraries. You know what they're doing is they're bringing it to the kids, and now they're accepting pedophilia. They're calling it minor attracted persons, MAP, MAP, minor attracted persons. Is not something perverted or wrong. It's just simply, you know, it's another lifestyle for people. So this is NAMBLA from years ago now out in the open and being accepted. And that's exactly what we have. So, yeah, they don't want sex trafficking to be wrong because they're trying to promote it as normal. Think about that. So here's the inversion again. And this again goes back to Babylon, where there was this incredible lack of care or sympathy or empathy for the human person. We were just used as cattle, as worker bees for the hive. And if we weren't useful, goodbye. And that's exactly what the globalists are doing. That's what they want. If you're not useful, you know, what's his name? They asked Noah what's his last name?
Yeah, the spiritual guru to the World Economic Forum.
Yes.
Noah Yuval Harari.
Yeah, and they asked him,
the non-scientist or the guy that comes up with all sort of pseudo-scientific explanations that really just is paganism, dressed up in science, and a scientist's cloak.
Oh, yeah. And what does he say? Well, you know, AI is going to take over jobs and all that. We're going to have, you know, some billions of people that aren't going to have a job. What are we going to do with them? Yeah.
Write a Bible.
Yep. And what are we going to do with these billions of people that aren't going to be able to work because AI has the jobs? He goes, the best we can come up with right now is to give them drugs and keep them satisfied by video games.
Oh, man.
Now, you know, that's like, not going to last forever. They're going to basically get rid of people. That's what they're going to end up doing. But the best we can come up with now, he said, is to give them drugs and give them video games, pacify them, make them happy for now. And a basic income, a universal basic income. That's what they're going to do. A little CBDC card. They're going to get rid of you. Because why do we need these people? Why do we need this many people? We don't. You're just surplus cattle. We got to get rid of you.
It scares me that they're saying the quiet part out loud now. I mean, the only thing that would shock me even more is if Noah Yuval Harari ripped off the human mask and, exposed his lizard self underneath. That would be the only thing that would shock me more. I mean, they are just announcing things that they were quiet about a while ago. And this is what scares me, why I talk about how quickly this is all accelerating. It is really terrifying. And look, just getting back to the kids issue, I mean, this is a big problem, and I can see it. I can also see this coming a mile away. Of course, the social mores of two generations ago were completely and utterly different to today. I mean, if you transported someone from the 1950s into New York today, I mean, they'd probably have a heart attack looking at what's going on, how people are dressing, how they're behaving, completely and utterly different. And in New York, I see just 2 weeks ago, we had, during Pride Month, a bunch of LGBTIQ alphabet soup activists dancing around, prancing around in the street and chanting out, "We're coming for your children. We're coming for your children." I mean, well, I'd like to see you try, guys. There'll be a very big problem with me, but
that's right.
That is what they were chanting, and you can see where this is all heading. I've seen the same thing, the TED Talk. Again, pseudoscientists doing TED Talk saying that pedophilia, it's not really a crime. It's more something that we should start looking at and accepting as just simply part of the sexual spectrum. No, it's not. It's a crime, right. And it's got victims. But I think we know where they're trying to drag us. And for many of us, it's going to be literally over our dead bodies. Do you think that in 50 years' time, I hate to even ask the question because I shudder at the thought, but two generations ago, 60 mm-hmm. years back, things were immensely different than they are today.
Yeah.
In 60 years' time, where do you think we're going to be on issues like this?
Well, I'll tell you this much. If they are not stopped by the public, totalitarian carbon mandates will become the norm. And the next generation will be living in an engineered poverty. And they're going to be taught from very early childhood that the globalists saved the world from a calamity that never really existed. And they're going to be told that the enslavement of humanity is something to be proud of, a gift that keeps the species alive. And anyone who questions this, George, anyone who questions the slavery is going to be looked at as a selfish, villain that wants the destruction of the planet and wants to ruin society. And you're going to be vilified. You're not going to question it. That's where I think we're going, unless it's stopped by the public.
Mm-hmm. Now, just again, changing tack, that we've only got 5 minutes left, but I did want to ask you about this at left field. I see that Robert F. Kennedy has come under attack today from the mainstream media. There's video circulating of him discussing something that, a lot of people who are red-pilled and awake and alive to what's going on, talking about COVID-19 potentially being some form of bioweapon and talking about how it was almost racially charged. But he did clarify, he did say, look, I'm not saying that it is. I'm just noting the fact that it seems to be, based on the data, that more people of certain ethnic groups were affected by COVID-19 than others. He wasn't saying it didn't affect people in some ethnic groups. He said that the data shows that more people in certain ethnic groups were affected other than others. I need to go off and have a look at the research. Knowing Robert F. Kennedy Jr., he is so on the money about so many things, mm-hmm. having read his book, The Real Anthony Fauci, that I probably don't doubt that data that he's quoting. I need to go and see it, but I don't doubt it just like the dismissive media would. But what I'm more interested in is why this attack on him right now. What is happening over there in the USA that's necessitated this destruction and pile-on that inevitably is going to come if it hasn't started yet on RFK Jr.?
Well, because he's becoming very, very popular and being funded, and people are donating to his campaign. And, this is another Kennedy now that is rocking the Democratic Party. And he's pretty much opposite of everything the party stands for now. He's the old style Democrat, the Truman Kennedy Democrat way back when. He's the old style Democrat, and the old style Democrats were First Amendment lovers. They used to defend it all the time. Now the Democratic Party doesn't do that. So he stands against the party, but he is a Democrat. He's in the party and they don't know what to do with him. So they have to attack him and destroy him. He's calling things out for what they are. His father said his uncle, John F. Kennedy, said they needed to smash the CIA, smash it into 1,000 pieces. Well, You know, he's come out now, Robert Kennedy, and he's basically saying the same thing. He's saying that they were involved in his uncle's death. You know, he's calling it out. He's speaking plainly. You know, and when it comes to the
Why else are they covering up parts of that?
Oh, absolutely. Like,
yes, when it comes to the science, go on.
Yeah. Yeah, when it comes to the science, he documents everything. That book that you mentioned, it is filled with footnotes and documentation. You know, he's a lawyer. He's not going to just speak things that he doesn't know about. And yes, we have DNA today that we can target, weaponize and target ethnic racial groups. We can do that. So it is there. It is possible. And if he's saying that he sees this, you know, I don't doubt it. The red states and the Republicans were targeted with the most lethal forms of the shot. Why? Why? That's even been documented now. Why was the red states and the conservatives targeted with the more lethal forms of the shots, not the placebos? Well, that there were some placebos.
We all know why. I think we all know why. And look, we're going to have to leave it at that. But thank you very much once again for a riveting discussion there, Father Lazarus. We'll no doubt speak to you again very soon, talking about the signs of the times. You're here on TNT Radio's The George Christensen Show. Stay tuned after these news headlines.